I said, it's good in here. You know, you could ride in here and walk out. Meaning if you were in a wheelchair, you could just walk on out of here. One of these days, we're going to have times when the ambulance is going to drive by, and instead of going to the hospital, they're going to go, wait a minute, there's one of family churches. Just drop me off in there. I just see those days coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's so good to be with you. Are you excited?
Amen.
I tell you what, there's something about what's going on in this room here today. You know, one person can send 1,000 demons to flight. Two can send 10,000 demons to flight. Just look around over this room and realize the power that's in this room. The authority that's in this room. The agreement that's in this room. I mean, this is a place you could receive anything from the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got a weather report for you. How many of you would like to have the weather report? I shared this weather report with Pastor back in the office. It says this in the Living Translation of Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26. It says, I will bless my people. This is your weather report for the day. This is, in case you were wondering what the weather report was today, this is what the weather report is. I will bless my people and their homes around my holy hill, and in the proper season, which would be now, because this is the year of Jubilee, ever since Jesus was raised from the dead, we're in the time of Jubilee. It says, I will send the showers that they need, and there will be showers of blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Anybody ready for a blessing?
Yes.
Now, you know that we're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's what Ephesians says. And if you're a child of God, then you know you have an inheritance. How many of you are glad we all have the winning lottery number? We've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus and you've been risen together and you're seated with Him, how many of you have taken your place and you're seated with Christ in heavenly places? Aren't you glad when we start praying, we don't start from down below and try to work our way like a, you know, some video game? No, when we start praying and we release faith, we start from our place in heavenly places. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get our prayers up somewhere. We launch from. We're seated in heavenly places. What could you see God doing if you're already seated together in heavenly places? How many of you know the view's a whole lot better up there? So if you've been kind of, you know, the devil's kind of pulled on you and you've kind of been dealing with stuff here below, set your sights on things above.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I'm going to get to something you're going to like here in just a minute. But I tell you what, it's an honor to be with you. We try to avoid not telling too many people about you all because we're going to keep you to ourselves. Now, we've let it slip out a few times. We've told people about this place, about the family churches, but we really count it a great honor and a blessing. Thank you, Pastor Mike and Courtney, both of you, for believing in our ministry and receiving the ministry gifts and offices that God has bestowed to us, that we've been stewards of. And every meeting that comes along, we wait on the Lord. We wait on our ministry, as Romans talks about, and we seek the Lord for what He would say to this church, because what God's doing at this ministry is different than any other church that we've been to all this year. We've been already in Bogota, Colombia. We've been in, Annie went to Africa two months ago, in the June, first part of July. And there's not any two churches the same. And as it often happens, as we wait on the Lord and we just set our attention and our direction on the Lord for what He wants to say and what He wants to do, as it often happens, the Lord woke me up at 4:30 in the morning with just one simple word, powerful word. I don't know if you'd want to hear it or not. You sure you want to hear what he has to say about this place? This is going to be quite a day. I just want to let you know, you better buckle up. It's going to be a ride. But in Ezekiel, I just went ahead and took a snapshot of it on my phone. But in Ezekiel, there's a prophet here that sees and receives a word from the Lord. And in this visitation from the Lord, it says this in Ezekiel. Is it the 47th chapter, I believe it is? Verse 9, it says, "And it shall come to pass that every living soul which swims wherever these two rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters are going there. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live that shall enter this river." Last night as we were entering into Allegheny City, I was noticing there's a big casino over to the side of the off the side of the road, and I was amazed that out here in the country, and you know, there's a lot of old homes. You know, it's not a metropolitan big city. You know, it's just, you know, spread out country land, and here you are. You're seeing all this countryside, and then all of a sudden, a huge casino. It almost didn't look like it belonged there. And I'm looking at that, and then I looked at the parking lot, and I saw all these cars, and I saw buses in the parking lot. I thought, wow, people come from all over the place to get here. And I turned to Annie, I said, you know what, if they can come from all over the country, all over the region, to come to this casino, I said, you know, he'll cause people to come from all over the regions to come to one church. And I've seen that. I've seen that many times. I think Brother Leroy Thompson, was it? He had more people in his church that was in his city. So that means people had to come from other counties and other cities and in the region to make up all the people that were in his church. But notice that that word that came to Ezekiel was these two rivers. And I was just visualizing, imagining this morning as that rose up in my spirit, that these two rivers, the two churches, that are really one church in two locations. It's all one church. I mean, really, if you think about it, the ecclesia, there is only one church. One day, thank God, all the titles and all the names of all the different churches that will be just wiped away. There's one body of Christ. We're it. The same body that was in the book of Acts. The Holy Ghost Church. That's the way it was meant to be. Matter of fact, the epistles were all written to Spirit-filled Christians. That's why a lot of people have a hard time understanding the revelations and the powerful things of the epistles, is because they're not filled. A lot of people aren't filled with the Holy Ghost, but you and I are filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be before you leave here today. If you're not born again, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're in the perfect room. This is the place to get saved. Know that your destiny is changed from, you know, eternal damnation to eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the greatest miracle, is that you pass from death unto life. He translated you out of the kingdom of darkness and translated you in the kingdom of His dear Son. But and as that scripture, and I've never ministered on that scripture before, and I'm not going to make this my whole message, but I'm just dropping this first prophetic word to you for this church, is that the waters are rising. The tide has turned. The waters are rising. The waters are rising. There'll be waters to swim in. And the Lord showed Ezekiel that anyone that comes in contact with this river, if they just get in the river, if they'll just come by the river, this church could be called the River Church. Could be called the River Church. Because there's a river that's happening. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. There's a river that's happening. Hallelujah. And in this river, there's life. Yes. Jesus, when He came, He didn't come that you'd have life and life mediocrely. I don't like average. I don't like mediocre. I like life, He said He came to give us. Life, and life more abundantly. More abundantly. And as I was just looking at that casino, and I turned to Annie and said that, I said, you know, people will come from all over the different counties and regions to get to this ministry. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You know, there's another church that will really receive this prophetic word, and they'll get really excited about it. I'm just not sure. Is my mic working? Testing 1, 2. There'll be people that will come from regions and other counties. They'll have to drive here because they know that there's a river that's flowing, a river of healing, a river of blessing, a river of prosperity. If I can just get in the river, if I can just get in the river. How many of you value the anointing? I believe one thing that's special about the family churches, and I'm with you today at this particular family church, but Annie and I have recognized that there's a reverence for the house of the Lord and the things of the Lord. I've said this for years now, and when I talk to pastors, I try to get them to sign up for this, just to acknowledge this, to instill this in their people, and the family churches have this on a higher level than anywhere we go. And that's why you're our favorite part of the church. Did you hear me say that? I actually said you are the favorite. Not like you're in the top five. I didn't mention anything about top three, top two. I said our favorite. But I tell you, the reason why that is, Now you realize Pastor Mike said that. I already told you about the countries. You know, we were sitting across from someone just at the table in Bogota, Colombia, having lunch. And Pastor John Romick, he's the director, been the director of Rhema Bogota, Colombia for I don't know how many years. He had his own Bible school, then it became Rhema. But sitting at our table during lunch was a lady named Maria Paula Arzola. And they got an okay church going on down there in Colombia. Annie and I ministered at their leadership conference. They had 3,000 people that showed up that were the leaders of the church. They have 21,000 members. And Maria Paula was sharing with the ladies, with Annie ministered at the ladies meeting, and she shared how the hand of the Lord came upon her pastor when she was 14 years old and said, I want you to preach this Wednesday. She's 14 years old. And the pastor saw the anointing on her. They have 21,000 people in their church. When she was 14, everyone say 14, not 24, 14. The pastor said, I believe the Lord's telling me you should minister this Wednesday. She ministered in the adult service at 14 years old before she went to Bible school, and now they have 21,000 people in their church. But the pastor recognized the anointing. The pastor knows what season you're in. The pastor knows how to develop anointings in you. The anointing will remove burdens and it will destroy yokes. Everyone say the anointing will remove burdens. It will destroy yokes. There's a lot of churches that we go to, and I'm just putting it out there. They haven't really realized the importance and place the value that the things of God are, how real they are. He's a God of absolutes. He's not a 3 out of 5. He's not a 9 out of 10. He's a whosoever, whatsoever, anyone, everything. He doesn't talk wishy-washy. He's a God with a track record where there's no even a thought of turning back. He's never lied. He doesn't just tell the truth. He is truth. But God has, he reserves manifestations of himself for when we come together. So in these next few services, there's going to be different manifestations. And they're all him. You know, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll get to my message in a minute, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it lists 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now, you know, God's not limited to 9 gifts of the Spirit. Just like you could take the 3 primary colors that we make. How many colors are there in the color spectrum that are all made up of 3 primary colors? It's almost endless. And so God's not limited by anything. And so that's why you have come to a place in your life, you realize the power of the Word, the incorruptible seed, when it's received and when it's sown, it will produce. It will produce. When we receive God's Word, and every word of His Word is anointed, it has yoke-destroying power in it. It has burden-removing power in it. I was on our way to a church in Orlando, Florida, and all of a sudden there was a short, brief shower, and, you know, if it hasn't rained in a while, and the roads will get oily from all the cars and emissions and oil dripping on the highway, and, boy, I tell you what, if there's a quick shower on a hot day, it's easy to just go into a spin. Well, I was following a car, and the car in front of me slammed on its brakes, just a quick, brief shower, and that car in front of me slammed right into the car in front of them. I mean, just messed the 2 cars up. And the wisdom of God, I don't know, just having, you know, I'd driven all my life, and I just had enough sense to get my tires on some gravel. I just immediately, instead of slamming on the tires, I just got some gravel, and that got me stopped. And I'm sitting there parked right behind these 2 cars, all mangled. And as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, wow, wherever they were going, they're not going there now. Whatever they were planning for this evening, those plans have changed. Their car's going to have to go, they're not going to have their car for a while. They're going to have to get a rental car. They're getting in touch with their insurance companies. They're, you know, there's probably some kind of a lawsuit to, you know, get back the damages from the one who's responsible for, you know, it's always the person that runs into the other person, you know. Yes, it was a legitimate reason for the accident, but still someone's going to be at fault. So they're going to be a lawsuit. So now they're going to be in a lawsuit. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, their whole life has been uprooted. In one split second, their whole entire next possible 6 months is changed. Everything about what they were planning to do has all changed. And who knows how long that's going to last. One touch, one bump, and the Holy Ghost just on the inside of me goes, you think that's something? He said, what do you think one touch, one bump for me can do? I just want to help you realize that in these meetings, just one touch, just one bump, one touch of the Holy Ghost, and not just your next 3 months, 6 months could change, your whole rest of your life on this earth could be changed. Whatever you were thinking, the way you were doing things, God's ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Aren't you glad you're not in covenant with a God who's limited to what you can figure out? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Aren't you glad we serve not El Cheapo, he's El Shaddai. He knows where everything is. He knows how to bring increase. Your harvest is coming. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. God's got a lot of things to drop off here. I mean, there are some things rolling around Are you ready to be here all day today? Because I'm ready to camp out. I hope you know, some people come to leave. I hope you came to stay for a while. Because God will give you as much as you're hungry for. I say God will give you just how much you're hungry for. He meets your hunger. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with his goodness. But there's a longing, there's a hungering. Until you get hungry, until you get longing, it's not till then where he goes, okay, I got more for you. And when the more comes, that's when you can step over into life and life more abundantly. I tell you what, God's not limited in reaching you right where you're at. Maybe things have been dry for a while, but the Word of God says he'll make rivers in the desert places. If it's been dry, if you've not been satisfied, if there's something churning on the inside of you that you know that there's more, then there is more. And God's stirring your heart to say, come on in. Get in the river. Get in the river. Everyone say, I'm getting in the river. Hallelujah. We were at a church. Actually, before I tell you about this pastor, I'm going to read you a letter that we received from this pastor who received from the anointing of something that we ministered at his church. And you know, if God will do something for this pastor and for one, how many of you know God's no respecter of persons? If he'll do it, you know, I know Jesse DePlantis thinks he's God's favorite, but how many of you know we all are? His favor is unfailing, reachable to any person who's desiring to know him more. I'll tell you what, it's so much based upon how much of him and how far you want to go with him. It's all based upon that. Is the hunger you get, the more will come. Hallelujah. We were in India a few years ago, and at 4:30 in the morning, the Lord woke me up. And this word came to me, a new anointing for a new harvest. Everyone say a new anointing for a new harvest. Now, I don't know if you heard any preacher any time ever say that. I've heard similar sayings, but I've never, in all my days, I had never heard that phrase, a new anointing for a new harvest. And then the Lord said, I'm going to have you lay hands on people for a new anointing for a new harvest. And he said, you have to lay hands on them. I've tried to talk the Lord out of not laying hands on people. I'd rather do what Dr. Dufresne did. Be blessed! Just drive safely. You know, it's just a lot easier than laying hands on everybody in the room. But the Lord said, this is a new anointing for a new harvest. You're going to need to lay hands on people. So oftentimes, even if it's not my message, you may hear Andy and I, or you might hear me say, a new anointing for a new harvest. The anointing will enable you to do things you would never be able to do on your own. The anointing will enable you to do way more than what you could ever do on your own. I mean, just think about David. Think about Samson. Think about Abraham. Think about Moses. They didn't have the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of them like you and I do. Oh, I hope that sinks in right there. They only had the Spirit of the Lord upon them. And the Lord still will come upon you, even though he's already filled you. But there's times when he'll come upon you. But think about what these men, I mean, David, you know, he took the bear, he took the lion, he trash talked and took that Philistine. But David didn't do that with the little stones in his slingshot in his own power and his own strength. I mean, how long would you have to practice standing from someone, let's say, 100 feet away and nail him right in the forehead enough to kill him? How long would you have to practice that move? How many of you know that there was some anointing on that rock? I said, God can do something for you in one split second, one touch, one bump, that changes everything. Changes everything. Changes everything about your life. Changes everything. Well, I got a letter from this pastor we were at his church, and the Lord, it was just one Wednesday, one service. Remember, one touch, one word, the anointing. So this pastor, after we were there, 83 days later, so 3 months later, he had wanted to send me this letter earlier because so many things happened. So here's what one seasoned pastor sent me a letter, and I'm reading directly from his letter. It's been 83 days since you were here with us on the 16th under the direction of the Holy Spirit. You said new anointing for a new harvest, and it won't take long. They'll come quickly. We rejoice as our minds went to what is usually goes to when we hear about harvest. We thought money. However, there's a flow of new anointings that are different than we expected. I didn't even realize it till, didn't even realize that's what is happening until the Holy Spirit pointed it out. You know, sometimes you step over into another realm, a whole nother life, and all of a sudden, the blessing of the Lord becomes natural to you. The blessing, the freedom, the joy, the provision of the Lord, the seeing things, knowing things. You know, you hear people say, well, I didn't see that coming. Well, if you have the Holy Ghost, He's the revealer. He'll show you things to come. Well, I didn't see that coming. Well, that's your problem. You're not praying in other tongues enough. Did I just say that? You know we love you, right? I was talking to a pastor one time, and somebody came in there. They were just yapping about something going on in their life. This pastor is so much not like this, what I'm about to tell you, he said to this lady. He looked at this lady and goes, shut up and get out of here. Then, the next day, on Sunday morning, the lady came up to the pastor and goes, Pastor, thank you. Thank you for what you said to me. What, the shut up part or the get out of here? Which part was revelation to you? What it is she needed for that moment a little 2x4 action from her man of God, from her pastor. Sometimes you just need, don't ever just excuse a harsh, straight word from your pastor. Sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church, but I'm going to keep preaching here. I'm not really sure how to explain it without writing an email that you would need a day off after reading. I guess the best way is to say the flow of revelation, wisdom, correction, humility, healing, forgiveness, courage, and divine order has been awesome. Only God. 83 days. We laid hands on him for a new anointing. 83 days later, I get this. Now the money is starting to come too. I could share details for a long time, but I'll just say God was faithful to bring you here that night, one touch, and use you to impart words of power for us to receive and to run with. We go on. On a personal level, I've never enjoyed a closer relationship with God or experienced more freedom, joy, peace, and fun in my life. People are all the time going, man, I just don't know if I want to just really surrender to Him. You know, I'm not sure. You know, I just kind of like having my own way of doing it. Seems like there's a theme. Just, you know what, this is how I roll. This is my truth. Well, maybe it's different than the truth. You got to be willing to change, to embrace new. Now, I hope I'm not getting Pastor Laketic in trouble. You know, sometimes ministers, we talk about things on a different level than than we want all of you all to hear. Because we're interested in your growth. God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Say, God loves you way too much than to let you just be some bumping along log, acting the way you were, not receiving all the fullness and more. But He loves you too much. He loves you too much to let you stay the way you are. So Pastor Michael said, you know what I do? Did you know what? Pastor Michael Laketic, you know, he's got a pretty good assignment from heaven going on. In case you all aren't aware of it. But he told me this, and I've told this to many pastors. He said this. Now don't take this personal. If it sounds a little negative, you're more like how old I am. I just became 59. I'll be 59, right? That's all. I think I'm already looking at 60, like it's coming. But he said to me, he said, you know what, Kevin? He goes, I train my young lions under 40, and I comfort the feeble-minded over 40. The way you get feeble-minded is by thinking you've already arrived. The way you become feeble-minded is thinking that you just know it, how the way things ought to be already. That's how you become feeble-minded, is you don't realize anymore that there's so much more. At some point when you were younger, you were in a growth spurt with God, and then you got satisfied. Did I just say that? At some point, there was just a entering into, I'm okay now. That's how feeble-mindedness settles in. But that's not my message either. So he said, on my personal level, my marriage has never been this great. This is still from the same pastor that received one word and one moment of having hands laid on him. My kids are at a level they've never been before. Our family as a whole is better than it's ever been. None of these things were terrible, but avoiding terrible isn't much of an achievement with God. Anybody want to leave mediocre behind? Anybody want to leave almost enough behind? Jesus provided an extraordinary life for us to live. The last two series I've ministered have been a new level. I mean, this letter goes on and on. The church is growing. The people are excited, intentional about living a life pleasing to God. The list goes on and on. God is faithful. And then he just said, thank you for obeying God. Well, that's what Annie and I endeavor to do when we come to a church like this. Amen. We just want to obey God. Yes. Pastor Michael Laketic, he says, he, for a long time, every now and then, I don't know if it's because he didn't think I was obeying God, but he'd just send me a text. He goes, obey God. Just like that. You ever hear him say that? Just obey God. So that's our desire. Amen. Is just to impart, to deliver to you what the word of the Lord is, and he's already said some things here already. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow, we could stop now and say it was good to be here. What do we do? Should we go on? What time is it? 11:07. What time do you all get out of here? Hallelujah. Why don't we just lift our hands? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We reverence you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for revelation, opening up our eyes to see and our ears to hear the Spirit of the Lord. His voice speaking to us. Father, we commit, we consecrate, we dedicate, we surrender to You. Not our will, but Your will be done. Just as Jesus prayed on this earth, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done in my life. So, Lord, we desire, we covet the best gifts. We desire earnestly manifestations of You. We thank You for the things that are being set in motion. Thank You that there's a realization that there's a river flowing. There's a river of provision flowing. There's a river of healing flowing. There's a river of deliverance flowing. There's a river that's flowing that will set the captives free, that will open up blinded eyes, open up deaf ears. We thank You that the river is flowing here in Dayton and Allegheny. We thank You that these two locations, one church, are thriving because they're in the river. Father God, we want to move with the cloud by the pillar of fire. We want to follow Your presence, follow Your leading, Your Holy Spirit within us. Thank You for the anointing that destroys yokes, removes burdens. Father God, I pray for these services to come and this one that we're in right now. I thank You, Lord, that people are getting answers. I thank You for answers. Thank You for answers. Thank You for divine order. Thank You for setting things in motion. Thank You for the launching of the things that You intend to manifest. Hallelujah. We see on the horizon greatness, multiplication, multiplication of fish. Many souls, many souls, many souls, many souls. They come and they get answers. They get ministered to. They get fed and they get healed. They get restored. Thank You, Lord, for sending the people that need to be restored. Thank You that restoration, restoration to this whole region. Restoration to the way that You had intended to manifest, to deliver to Your people. Thank You, Lord. We see it. Thank You, Lord. We see it. We see it. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah.
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 Thank You for the increase.
Thank You for the provision to do it. Thank You for supplying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You for supplying. Why don't you just lift your hands and just thank the Lord for supplying your need, the church's need, manifestations, visitations from the Lord for this whole region, this whole area. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many redeemed people do we have here today? Hallelujah. Are you excited? Is your exciter working? Your expector working? You're the redeemed of the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, the anointed one. And His ability and all that He has is in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. It's the hope of glory. Hallelujah. We really don't quite get it. How awesome it is to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We need to be brainwashed so badly by the washing of the Word, the Bible says. We're renewed. Our minds are renewed by the washing of the Word. I tell you what, if you watch more than an hour of news a day, you need to have your brain washed. The Bible says in 1 John chapter, 2:20? Chapter 1:20, it says that you are anointed from the Holy One and you know all things. Everyone say, I'm anointed. Do you see yourself as anointed? When you look in the mirror in the morning, do you go, oh my God? Or do you go, that man, that woman, you're anointed. I want to encourage you to do that. Look in the mirror and just start acknowledging. You know, one of my favorite verses is Philemon 6, that your faith will become effectual. Well, we want our faith to become effectual. Amen? How many of you want your faith to work and to become effectual? That your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing in Christ Jesus in you. Your faith will become effective. It'll become effectual by the acknowledgement of what Jesus has provided, what God's Word says about you. It's the acknowledging of that that your faith will become effective. Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, is in you. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is He that's in me. Say it after me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you have a God awareness? You know what? I want to encourage you. I'm so thankful that Brother Hagin delivered me from the fear of repetition. Because I heard him preach Mark 11, 23, 24 about as much as most people. But one definition of being in the Spirit, I believe Brother Hagin said this. He said, one way to know that you're in the Spirit is to be more aware of God than you are of yourself. And we need to be more aware of God who's in us than ourself and our carnal limitations. Now, I asked Brother Caleb to help me out. Would you come up here a second? Come right up here. I want you. Oh, see, they even made a square for you to stand in right there. Caleb is you. Now, one of the most powerful verses in the Bible is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ now lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But one translation says this, I now consider myself as having died, and I'm now enjoying a second existence, and that's Jesus using my body. I now consider myself as having died, and I'm now enjoying a second existence, and that's Jesus using my body. Now, you know, we are spirit, soul, and body. God likes threes, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but man is a three-part being. We are a spirit, we possess and live in a body, and we have a soul, our mind, will, and emotions. We're not here to speak on the three parts of man, but I believe you all know this. So this is you. Caleb is representing you. Pretty fine specimen of a being, isn't he? So this is you. So in case you don't really realize what happened when Jesus came and made his abode and moved on the inside of you, remember, I consider myself as having died, and now I'm enjoying a second existence, and that's Jesus using my body. So this is basically your earth suit. So what God did through the finished work of Jesus when he died, was buried, and he was raised from the dead, and then whosoever believeth on him will be a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Jesus came up to your earth suit, and he, let's pretend there's a zipper from the top of Caleb's head down to his feet. Jesus came up to you, and he unzipped you. And then Jesus did one of these numbers. He said, that was you. You're all right, because I made you. But things are changing now. I unzipped you, I moved on the inside of you, zipped you back up, and now I'm living through you. Your hands are my hands. Your feet are my feet. Everywhere you go, I go. Everything you touch, I touch. When you speak, it's just like I said it. Thank you, buddy. I hope you never forget that. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 12. That was all my introduction. Here comes the message. Hallelujah. If you have a roast cooking at home, just offer it up right now as a burnt sacrifice. The Lord will be pleased with it. Just want you to realize you're anointed today. Do you value the anointing? The Christ part of Jesus Christ isn't Jesus' last name. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, and His anointing, or His empowerment, His ability, Jesus Christ. Well, you're one with Him. He was the first of many brethren. Here in Revelation, we see where John had an open vision. You know, the Bible says in last days that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. I guess that's why I'm dreaming dreams these days. Your young men shall see visions. Upon my handmaidens I'll pour out my spirit upon them. But dreams and visions are part of an expected experience that believers can have, not to be shunned away from. The Lord may want to speak to you in the middle of the night, in your car, wherever. And so John is having an open vision, and he sees you and I in the time we're living at right now. And let's pick up here. John said in verse 10, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "Then I heard a voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Verse 11 says, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb." In this church, I would imagine you all have some degree of knowledge and realization of the power of the blood. But then he goes on to say, "And they did not," it says, "and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by something." They overcame by the word of their testimony. Everyone say testimony. Testimony. How many of you have a testimony? If you're born again, you definitely have a testimony. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got a testimony. If you've ever received a healing from the Lord where you knew God, He sped up something. You know, the natural course would have been more days and more weeks, but you believe God, maybe someone laid hands on you, maybe you had someone agree with you, you just stood in faith, and it just, that thing had to go and go quick. Have you experienced that? You got a testimony. How many of you have ever had a financial blessing and a provision from the Lord where you didn't know where that next supply that you needed? You know, if you're a person that have lived from paycheck to paycheck and barely enough, I tell you, God's got more for you. He's got more for you. Be encouraged. Things can change. It's amazing. It's amazing how things can change. But if you've had a financial breakthrough, you have a testimony. The word here says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I just sense, for the sake of time and not going too long and not wearing you out, I'm going to have to, would you believe God with me to do the shortest version of what I'm about to do? I'm surprised I haven't heard from my wife yet. Amen. She knows how God uses me. She knows what we're doing in God right now, and some things take time to impart things. I'm believing for a quick impartation to you right now. And I'm going to try to make it a shorter version of what I could spend a couple days on. I'm going to do the best I can to make it as quick and as short as possible to make an impartation to you. Would you help me do that? And the way you can help me is just stand focused. Don't get weary. Don't get tired. Don't think about time. Just stay plugged in, and I will do my best to get us out of here so we can come back as quickly as possible. I want to eat lunch just like you do. I really do. I like food. But don't think about food right now. Stay focused. Your kids are going to be taken care of. Let me get this into you. This is the one service this word of the Lord is going to be ministered to you. So this is the time right now. We have to do it now, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul's speaking. He said, I, brethren, when I come to you, did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. Everyone say, the testimony of God. Say this if you would. God has a testimony. Say this. I have a testimony. Now watch this. Say this. My testimony is actually God's testimony. God's testimony is my testimony. My testimonies is actually God's testimony. But God's testimony is my testimony. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Of all the things I know, here's one thing I really am excited about, and I really know this. Here's the power. Here's where this is. Nothing else has any significance. Nothing else really matters if you don't have this right here. That is, I know this. What is it, Paul? I know that Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching, watch this, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration. My speech and my preaching wasn't with human wisdom, but my speech and my preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, my speech and my preaching were a demonstration His speech was a demonstration, and it causes manifestation. There's a reason why God said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's a reason why the Lord said, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of your testimony, the words coming out of your mouth. Your testimony coming out of your mouth is what will cause you to overcome. It's your testimony. It's not pastor's testimony. It's not Kevin and Annie Durant's testimony. It's your testimony. Job said, I will decree a thing, I will declare a thing, and it will be established. Look at Titus. Titus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Titus, chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, now watch this. Paul wasn't wishy-washy about eternal life, was he? But it says, in hope of eternal life. Now you just, I have to say this. Hope here and hope in anywhere in the New Testament is not wishy-washy, it sure would be nice if it happened. Hope, anywhere you see the word hope in the New Testament, you may want to write this down, but this is the best definition we've come up with of Bible hope, New Testament hope. It's a firm expectation of a future certainty because the God who promised cannot lie. It's a firm expectation of a future certainty, because the God who promised cannot lie. He said, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Now look at verse 3. But has in due time manifested His word through preaching. God manifests His word. How many of you know that when there was absolute void and darkness, God stood out on the horizon and said, light be. The power of God's word. How many of you knew? I mean, we could go on and on with that. Remember, we're giving you the short version. But how many of you know Jesus is the one that says, you'll have what you say? Not you can have what you say. Watch this. Not you can have. A lot of people think, oh, I heard you can have what you say. No, you're having what you say. What you have right now is what you've been believing and saying for weeks, months, and years. If you're tired of what you're seeing and what you're having, then change what you're believing and what you're saying. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. That's how God started all this. Sun, be. Moon, be. Light, firmament, stars, be. Oceans, be. From the power of His word. And God said that He causes manifestations through preaching, declaring, proclaiming. Why do you think God's word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so? Why did John see in this open vision from heaven that he saw the saints, you and I, in 2019, about ready to go into 2020, when God is bringing the river flow? And He wants us to get on the same page, saying the same thing, believing the same things, declaring the same things, because what we say, when the redeemed of the Lord say so, there's manifestations. You're preaching, you're declaring, you're proclaiming, causes demonstration, causes manifestation. The preaching of the word causes manifestation. Your testimony, when spoken, causes manifestation. Why have we been hearing about faith for all these years? It's for the last days, baby. We're in the last days, and it's time. You know what? Everyone else is out of the closet. The LBGTZKFZ, whatever. Everyone's out of the closet. And it's time for the church to have a voice. Everyone else has a voice. Everyone's out of the closet. No one's hiding anymore. Everyone's out. It's time for the church to have a voice. Oh, don't preach to me. Oh, no, we're coming. And we're preaching. And we're manifesting. And we're demonstrating. And we're causing a move of God. Oh, we're coming. And we're preaching. We're preaching. We're declaring. You're going to hear me say some things. I got a testimony. This is how I overcome. Your testimony is God's testimony. It didn't start with you. If the Bible was still being written, it's very possible your testimony would be in it. Because that amazing thing that God did for you, didn't He do it? If the Bible was still being written, it's very possible your testimony would be in it. Because it was a God event. That's how powerful your testimony is. It's Him manifesting. Woo! Don't forget what Brother Caleb looked like up here. Having Jesus step on. Are you anointed? The anointing, the purpose of the anointing. If you look at, again, I'm giving you the short version. Y'all done good. You're helping me go short. You look at, read Luke chapter 4, verse 8, starting with verse 18. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's interesting that Jesus had to get up and declare He was anointed. Well, He was our older brother. He was the first of many brethren. Some people, religious thinking, has a very hard time with that. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He is your older brother. He was the first of many brethren. He came in the likeness and the form of man. He laid aside His deity, came in the likeness and the form of man, and showed how someone on earth can live a life empowered and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Get a hold. If it's not as real as it needs to be, get it in you today. Soak this up. I mean, just take a good old, pass the biscuits, Pappy. I mean, I'll take a bite of that. If you've been catching yourself whining, you're not all wrapped up in Him. You can't spend 2 hours in the presence of the Lord and come out and want to kick the dog. I'm just saying. Come on now. Come on now. Whining about what are we going to do now? Well, He's got it. We keep our focus and our attention on Him. He's going to see us through this. He's a way maker. He's a way maker. Oh, I wish I had someone helping me preach right now. I said, He's a way maker. I said, He's a way maker. He specializes in making a way. That's who He is. He is a way maker. If you'll let yourself start seeing it, everything can change. Your testimony is wrapped up in Him. Hallelujah. I have a friend. Praise the Lord, I have a friend. His name's Richard. He's become a really good friend of mine. And I heard about the healings and miracles he was having. I mean, demonstrations, the fire of God manifesting. I mean, just going into people like they were electrocuted by the power of God. You know, the fire of God. Jesus, when He was baptized, you know, John, for instance, said, you know, I indeed baptized you with water, but there's coming one that's greater than I. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The Holy Ghost and fire will burn stuff out of your life that needs to be burned out. And I'm just going to say, there's some things in some people's life in this room, there might be some burning that needs to take place. I'm sure there's some things in my life that needs to be burned out. You know, I every now and then I have to say, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief about that. Because anything that's not of faith is sin. You know, your mind wants to go to some kind of carnal, you know, thing, you know, a bad, evil thought or, you know, something. We don't need to go anywhere. You know you. But listen, everyone's had to overcome something. You ought to be shouting a lot better than you're shouting right now. Don't be looking around the room. Just look at me. But how many of you know? How many of you are glad you got mercy and you didn't get what you deserve? Come on now. Mercy is where God will treat you better than you deserve. How many of you are glad for mercy? Aren't you glad you're not going to get what you deserve? We all need the blood. We all need the blood. Boy, if you don't have that revelation, get that one. We all needed the blood. We all need the blood. We all need mercy. What was I talking about? I don't even know where I'm at right now. So my friend Richard, we like to play golf. We went out to a place to have a burger right before we went to play. And I said, you know, Richard, I said, man, I've been hearing about the fire of God, the healing and miracles. Ministers like to get together and talk about, I mean, we were talking at lunch yesterday about, I had some crazy, wild, demonic person that manifested in our service not too long ago, and I had to literally throw him down on the seat and cast out the devil, and it was pretty exciting for a little while. So I said, Brother Richard, I said, when did all this happen? You know, ministers like to talk about how things got started. Like, when did that breakthrough happen? When did you start seeing the greater things? What was going on? What did you do differently? So I wanted to know, how did all this, it was like, he's very close to Rodney Howard Brown, very close to Brother Rodney Howard Brown. And if you know anything about Rodney Howard Brown, has basically led a major flow of the Spirit with joy and filling of the Holy Ghost. And matter of fact, his church is called the River Church down in Tampa. But Richard, my friend, we were talking. I said, can you tell me when this all started? He goes, no, I better not. I said, what? No, I asked you, would you mind telling me your testimony of when this all started? He goes, Kevin, I better not tell you. I said, what do you mean, Richard? He goes, the thing is, if I start to tell you my testimony, we're going to be on the floor. Now listen, some of you all, you get it. Some of you all, you're going to need me to interpret what I just said. On the floor is code for I'm going to start telling you my testimony. Because every testimony is alive and it never dies. Just like the gospel. Right now, the gospel is being preached around what gospel? The message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified brought deliverance for the whole world. That's His testimony. It has never died. The blood has never lost its power. The name of Jesus is alive today as it's ever been, because He was given a name when He was raised from the dead that exceeds and is far above every name that can be named. And today, when you use the name of Jesus around the globe today, when the gospel, the resurrection power is preached around the globe, people are being saved by the thousands, millions today, because God's testimony has never lost its power. Your testimony never dies because it's His testimony. So we're at the table. He goes, I better not. This is before. This all happened before I started. How many of you were ever in elementary school and you had the coloring books where you have the numbers and dots? And you had to, you know, take a crayon, you go to the dots, you know. Oh, it's a bunny rabbit. There it is. You get out the gray crown, the little pink tail. It's like you connect. I trust you connect the dots in these meetings. God is wanting, God's getting us a very simple color, but goes, okay, we're going to number 3 now. We're sitting there. He goes, I better not tell you my testimony. Why is that? He goes, well, on the floor is code for, I'm going to share my testimony. The anointing is going to come on me. Then it's going to come on you. And then after it comes on you, we're going to get drunk in the Holy Spirit right in this restaurant at this round table. And it's going to hit you so hard, I'm going to roll over, you're going to roll over. We're going to meet each other on the ground, on the carpet, underneath this table, because my anointing brings and delivers that much anointing and power, because it's never died and it always manifests every time I tell it. That's what I heard when he says, I can't tell you my testimony because we'll be under the table. I went, oh, really? I was thinking, really? Aren't you glad there's not a bubble over your head that tells everyone else what you're thinking right now? Thank God. I'm thinking to myself, Pastor Mike. I thought, dude, do you know who I am? Yeah, you know, I don't say that because I'm like thinking highly. I'm just thinking, I've had to stand up under strong anointings. Do you understand? We were in a meeting. This is not the short version. I just left the short version. Are you all okay? Will you stay in there? Will you stay with me? We're in a meeting with Brother Hagin in Lakeland. It's when the Lord said out of his mouth, he didn't even know he was saying it. He says, the Lord said, don't have all faith crusades, start having Holy Ghost meetings. In that service, the glory of God manifested. Well, did he fall out? He almost did? I mean, he was almost completely gone. Just, I mean, in the spirit, you know, lost. Holy Ghost was so strong. Ray Jean Wilson and Wayne, they tried to get up on the platform, and they met a wall, a Holy Ghost wall, on the stairs. Now, these are people that we've worked with Brother Hagin for years. They went to get up the stairs. Dun, 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 boom! They're holding on to the rail and stepped to the side. They could not get on the platform. There was a level of anointing and glory that was so strong, so thick, they could not. These are people who yield and flow with the Holy Ghost on a regular basis. They could not get on the platform. Strangely enough, Annie gets out of her seat. Brother Hagin needed help. Actually, one of the crusade team members needed to get up there just to be there for Brother Hagin so he didn't just fall on his own. I mean, he would have been fine if he did, but, you know, out of respect, you want to be there. And so Annie got up there, and she went right on up there. Well, Jim Hockaday, I don't have time to tell you who these people are, but they're all amazing people. Know God, have great ministries. He saw Annie. Now, I don't even think Annie knew to do this. I mean, she didn't know. She went up the stairs. Yeah. Yeah. So Annie went up the stairs and she did this. There was a level of the glory that because she ducked, she got up underneath it. Jim Hockaday saw Annie do this. So he followed her. Now, Ray, Jean, and Wayne, they're over here holding on to the rail. They can't get up. Jim saw Annie do the duck number, so he did the duck number. And he went up there, and they both got up there, and then Brother Jim was able to be there for Brother Hagin. I've been into some meetings. I said all that to say, I have seen some things. I've encountered some things. I know how to handle and stand up under the anointing. I have to. And here my friends tell me, I can't tell you my testimony because you're going to be on the floor. Seriously. You know what? I didn't say it. I didn't say anything. I didn't try to be cute with that. I didn't show any disrespect. I said, okay, fair enough. We get done playing a golf round. He gets a text from Rodney Howard Brown saying, I got to be out of town. Would you fill in for me Sunday night? So Richard shows me the text from Rodney. So he goes, hey, we're going to be live streaming the service. If you want to see how God's been ministering through me, log on. See the live stream. So Annie was on the road. I'm home. I made dinner for myself. Turned the lights out. Just me at home at the dining room table. And I set up my iPad. And I'm just watching. Oh, and here comes my friend Richard. And he's ministering. I think, well, he's doing a good job. It's not better than I would do, but I'm this was a little bit of ornery. We're very competitive, the two of us. That was good. I mean, I don't think it was any better than what Brother Pastor Mike would do. I mean, is he always that anointed, just like he is when he's doing it? Is he always like that? Y'all are blessed. So I'm sitting there, and he goes, now I'm going to tell you my testimony. I went, oh, here we go. I'm all in. I'm staring at the screen. He goes, you know what? I was called to the healing and miracle ministry, but was not having any healings and miracles. Okay. And I got desperate. I was so dissatisfied, felt like a loser. Telling people how big God is, not seeing any healings, not seeing any miracles. He goes, I felt like I cannot do this anymore. He's a Rhema graduate. He says, I'm ready to get out of the ministry. His family was in the NASCAR. He loves NASCAR. He goes, if things don't change, I can't do that. I feel like it's just a counterfeit. Not seeing healings and miracles. I just can't keep doing this. So he prayed. He said, Lord, I'll do anything. You just show me what you would want me to do. I'll do anything to see your manifested presence in my life. Just tell me what to do. I'll do anything. The Lord said, okay, every time you get out of your services, I want you to get on plane, drive your car, but get into every one of Brother Rodney Howard Brown services. That's a lot of work. I mean, I won't take the time. Remember, I'm giving you the short version. It's a lot of work. A lot of commitment. He did it. First week went by. Second week, third week, fourth. He's going to every meeting he can possibly. If he's not preaching somewhere, he's getting on a plane, getting on in the car, getting to the next meeting. Did it 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. No changes. Didn't see any changes. 5 months, 6 months, 7 months. 8 months. I'm watching him telling this. He's desperate. He's hungry. He's longing. He's asked the Lord, Lord, I'll do anything. So now he's in Daytona with Brother Rodney. They're standing on the beach. They're looking at the ocean, just standing there before the service, several hours. Brother Rodney turns to Richard, my friend, and said, I better go upstairs and get ready for the meeting tonight. He leaves Richard standing there on the beach. Brother Rodney goes to the hotel, up to the top floor. He's looking out the window, Brother Rodney, looking out the window, and he sees Richard down there standing on the beach, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, go back down there, tell him he's passed the test. I hope you pass your test. Because there's something that's amazing just on the other side. Sometimes it's just a little attitude adjustment. You know, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, one translation says, change your actions, change your attitude, for an invasion of the Spirit is imminent. The Holy Ghost is just looking for a way to come in and start blessing you on a level that you've never seen before. He is ready and looking, but you know what? We got to get beyond, I'm committed for 24 hours. Come on. We got to move on before, man, I did really good for 1 week. Wow, good for you. You really hung in there. Wow. You tied for a whole week? You're amazing. We try God. He was doing this for 8 months. Brother Rodney went down the elevator, walked on the beach, walked up behind Brother Richard. Brother Jeff, come here. My friend Richard faced the crowd. So I'm going to be Brother Rodney. This is my friend Richard. Brother Rodney walks up behind Richard. Richard's looking at the ocean. He goes, you passed the test. That's all he did. Go ahead and sit down. In this service that I'm watching on my iPad. Now remember, Richard told me, if I tell you my testimony, we're going to be underneath the table. Remember he said that? In this service I'm watching, he pulled an usher up like him. Now that wasn't my testimony. This is my friend's testimony. Because if Richard was here, he wouldn't be able to talk. He wouldn't be able to move. He'd be on the floor. Because I'm watching this live stream. He had pulled up an usher, walked up behind the usher and said, 3 times, you've passed the test. When he said that to that usher's ear, the power of God hit him so hard. The anointing came on him. The fire of God shot in him. He was shaken and he went to the floor. He goes, I need another usher. Come on. This usher. No, you don't have to come. You know. But you're ready, though. I like that. I like that a lot. You're ready. He goes, you usher, come up here. He walked up behind him, tapped him 3 times. Tap, tap, tap. You passed the test. He didn't even get that out of his mouth. And I mean, the power of God socket to him. Down. I need another usher. Came back to the side. I'm watching this. I need another usher. You passed the test. Power of God. I mean, he's going through ushers. And all of a sudden, I have never had this happen before. The power of my iPad went out. I have never had the power of my iPad go out. I'm watching these ushers drop like flies. The power of God falling. The anointing of God falling. And my power. And I'm sitting in the dark. What did I just experience? It made me think of, I was thinking, maybe we would have been underneath that table. And you know what? Just because I know I've connected some dots, we've learned how to activate the anointing. But you know what? Child of God, listen to me today. God wants to activate the anointing in your life. You just got something just now. Something just went into you right now. You have a testimony. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Everyone say, I have a testimony. Now, will someone fall out and the fire of God fall every time you share your testimony? But make no mistake about it. When you share your testimony, it's God's testimony. Be aware that your testimony is God's testimony, number one. Amen. That's why it has power on it, to keep you set free, keep you delivered, keep you free from the enemy, and keep you walking in what God's done for you. Amen. The power of your testimony. It's God's testimony, but it's your testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you just lift your hands and thank God for your testimony? Thank God for the anointing. We value His presence. We value the anointing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you what. It would be so easy to just go a whole nother hour. Wow. I love ministering at this church. Maybe my favorite. There's two places. It's Columbia and this family church. Two of my favorite places I ever minister. Hallelujah. Changes are coming. Changes are coming. Hallelujah. You'll pass every test. Be blessed!
Hallelujah. The full potential. Full manifestation. The full measure. But I said the full potential of the office and the offices. But I shake la mansto levete. Thank you, Lord. We're aware. We acknowledge. Basti levete. And I just only caroboche levete. Na mansuka. Mansikita and will cabroche levete. Mansuka leve. Unta cabra masukula. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow.
I tell you what, just lift up. The glory is in this place. Just lift up your hands or lift up a hand and just receive. Hallelujah. Whatever it is you need this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive. We receive. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we want to pass the test. Help us pass the test. Help us to think right. Help us to think right. Help us to do right. We want to pass the test so we can get to the other side of what you have intended for us all along. It's a simple decision to say, Lord, not my will, but your will. Just getting out of the way of yourself. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We reverence you, Lord. We do. We desire. It's in our hearts, Lord. It's in our hearts to pass every test, to lay aside every weight. Every weight, Lord, we lay it aside. We decide to crucify the flesh. We step up today. We step up because you want us to step into this hour of great power to demonstrate, to manifest your goodness and your love on this earth. Not just to be seen by you or by man, but to be used by you. Just to be used by you. Lord, just to be used by you. Just to have your words coming from our lips. Just to have your presence being manifested in our lives is what we desire. We are hungry, Lord. And we long after you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Brasilivete sukurma sikila ma sukurma sikila mando. Mambro su lavante ble sikila mando sukurma. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless you, Lord. Bye. Bless you, God. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He's good, isn't he? I said he's good, isn't he? I said he's good, isn't he? For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. He's good. He's only got good things for us. And this week, we're gonna get some downloads from heaven, a touch from heaven. Andy and I are getting ready to do a meeting. They're calling the meeting a touch from heaven. But we're getting some downloads. We're being touched by him. Did you get something this morning? God bless you. We'll see you tonight, Pastor.